Praise the Lord, saints. This is Pastor DM. Thankful to God that we are able to be with you this evening. For some of you, you may be getting this on Sunday, but today is Friday evening at the time of this recording. Amen. I got some time after moving some boxes and things to be able to sit down and have this chat, this discussion that I think is very helpful for those in the body of Christ. And there's a lot that we could talk about. It's been a crazy year since I've had an audio, I've had an audio time, you know, with the church where I've been able to sort of talk about things. And it's been a long year. We've been through a pandemic and now we have a vaccine. And, you know, the vaccine is like the face mask to many people. when COVID came, it was, you need to wear a face mask. All right. To protect yourself. And that's understandable. You know, now, however, the vaccine is here and you've got people that are, the face mask was polarized right during the Trump administration. And now you've got Biden in. And so now you've got people that are sort of trying to make the vaccine another point of contention, like the face mask, right? You've got those who believe in wearing it. You've got those who don't. And so now you've got the vaccine and there are those who believe in taking it. There are those who don't. And there are also those in the middle who are what the what the media calls, vaccine hesitant. That is, they're not opposed to vaccines. They are just opposed to this COVID-19 vaccine or this group of COVID vaccines. Because remember, there are a couple of companies making them, right? There's AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson. And we know that both of those companies and their vaccines have been given a bad rep because of the number of cases surrounding blood clots and deaths from them. Then there's the Moderna. And then there is the Pfizer. And we know the Pfizer and Moderna are said to run on brand new vaccine platform technology, messenger RNA or mRNA. And for those of you who don't know, according to the reading I've done, Moderna basically comes from modern RNA. And that's where Moderna comes from. You know, they basically took RNA, removed the RNA from Moderna or modern and therefore made it Moderna. So with that being said, there are these vaccines and we've got these three different positions. And today's talk is called pro-vaxxers and anti-vaxxers reaching across the aisle. I've written a bit at the site, in recent weeks about loving your neighbor as yourself. And what does that look like? And I believe that that should guide our discussion of this very thing, the COVID-19 vaccine. You know, in order for us to come together as believers and children of God who love the Lord and therefore should love each other, we have got to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so people have said, well, if you love your neighbor, you'll get the vaccine. Right? Because the vaccine will protect you. It will protect them. It will protect those you love and those you don't know and those that aren't in your family. Right? It will protect just about anybody. So, you know, a lot of literature out there in the public space, in the media, will basically try to shame people and say that basically you're an idiot if you don't get the vaccine. You're an idiot because only an idiot would refuse it. Right? Well, that's their logic and that's their way of thinking. And so they have an opinion. Pro-vaxxers are out there and they pretty much dominate the scene. People that are very pro-science, people that believe in science and what science says. And if the experts say do it, then you should do it. No questions asked, right? Most of the pro-vax movement seems to be that way. And if you speak anything that remotely sounds like you're opposing a vaccine in any form, people will pretty much, you know, cancel culture is alive and thriving and well, they will shut you down. I actually got in, I sent a post to a group of mine that I have on social media one day not too long ago, and someone in the group who actually is a relative of mine basically left the group because I posted something in the group that talked about this woman whose husband and son both got the Pfizer and the Moderna. They got one of each, right? One got the Pfizer, one got the Moderna. They both ended up in the hospital with blood clots and bleeding on the brain. And she was talking about the wife, the mother, was talking about how she thinks that there should be more awareness brought to side effects of the vaccines. This cousin did not like what I had to say, and this person exited the group. And so, you know, I'm just telling you that to let you know that even within Pastor Diem's own family, there are people on all sides of the situation, all sides of the discussion, and I think all sides should be heard. And I think when you love your neighbor as yourself, you can listen to those other sides. It's a foolish person. A fool does not listen to other people. A fool says, I know all that I need to know, and I'm going to believe, I believe what my doctor says. I believe, you know, what I think, and the rest of what the world thinks, I really don't give a flip. Only a fool believes like that. At the end of the day, everyone has an opinion on the subject that is worth hearing. Everybody has a point of view that's important, right? We all want to say, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is trying to bring awareness to the deaths of Black people, of African Americans, at the hands of police brutality. And some people have taken that to say, well, because they're shouting Black Lives Matter, they don't believe all lives matter. That isn't true. Every life matters. And if every life matters, then every opinion, every point of view matters. And so the problem that I have with pro-vaxxers, and by the way, I have as much going for me as they do. I've taken all my childhood vaccines, and, you know, I grew up in a family that believed in going to the doctor and trying to stay in good medical health. And whatever things I have not done for myself medically, I take full responsibility for, because it's not my family's fault. When you're an adult, you take responsibility for your own actions. And so there are things I haven't done as an adult medically. I don't like to think about doctors much. There's a huge medical history in my family, and there are things that I just haven't done. I haven't done them. But that's not the fault of my mom. That's not the fault of my grandparents. That's nobody's fault but mine. Because if I wanted to do those things, I can do them. So I say that to say that, you know, everybody has a point of view. Everyone has an opinion, and everyone deserves to be heard. And so what I don't like that I'm seeing in the media, on social media, is that those who are pro-COVID-19 vaccine want to shut down everyone that has their reservations or is against it. They don't want to hear a different side. They have decided, I think this is good, that's where I stand, and I don't care what you think. And they didn't say that on social media. They're not going to be that rude in many cases, though some may be the exception. But they are saying that. They, you know, they're giving you those social media facepalms, those emoticons, right? Where they're like, talk to the hand, I don't want to hear it. That's what they're doing. And I think it's tragic because, you know, I even read someone on social media who said, you know, so many weeks ago, this person was like, well, if you don't get vaccinated, don't come to my house because I don't want unvaccinated guests. And I thought that was so rude and so ugly to say, because at the end of the day, there are valid reasons why some people choose not to be vaccinated. And I think that no matter which side you're on, all three perspectives deserve to be heard. And at the end of the day, we can agree to disagree in the end, and we can walk away. But at least if we walk away from the discussion, we've heard each other. And so that's why the title of this is Pro-vaxxers and anti-vaxxers reaching across the aisle. It is that regardless of where you're sitting, on which side of the aisle you're sitting, or in which column of the aisle that you're sitting in, at the end of the day, you have a point of view and it is worthy of being heard. And if we are going to get beyond the impasse, this deadlock of discussion where I'm arguing at you, you're arguing and yelling at me, we're yelling at each other and pointing our fingers and standing out of our chairs, you know what I mean? As though we're upset with each other. If we're going to get past all that, we've got to just listen. We've got to listen to the perspectives. And I don't think we've done enough of that. So this discussion is driven to that end, that we would hear the perspectives that are different from our own. This is not intended to be a very long discussion, but this is intended to sort of flesh out some of the things that are weighing on the minds of everyone with their particular perspective. So we're going to talk about those three differing perspectives tonight. And, you know, that's what we're going to get into, so that by the end of this discussion, you will at least have a little bit more information and you will at least be thinking more about the other perspectives than you have before. Maybe you've come, your mind is made up in this discussion. Well, if your mind's made up, guess what? That's fine. But don't be so closed-minded that you don't listen to the other perspectives. And so to that end, you know, there are three. There are three major perspectives. But people say, well, Pastor Diem, where is your scripture tonight? It's easy. Love your neighbor as yourself. That is what I'm going to go to tonight, because that is the one thing that Christian pro-vaxxers, that is people that really believe in getting every vaccine, that is what they quote, is love your neighbor as yourself. But at the end of the day, if we understand what that means, it means that just like I want to be heard, if I love my neighbor, guess what? If I love them as myself, I want to let them be heard too, because they deserve to be heard like me. I'm no more important than them, that their view can't be heard and only mine matters. No, every view matters. And we're going to listen to those opposing views, even some of those that we don't like. And at the end of the day, this discussion is not going to call anyone a nutcase or a nut job, which is what anti-vaxxers or the vaccine hesitant are being called, because they won't take the vaccine. We're not going to do this name calling. We're going to address these three different perspectives, and we're going to leave it to you to decide where you fall in this. But what we're going to do is we're going to present those sides, and we're going to let you be the judge. So before we do all of that, let us get into prayer. Amen. And then we're going to go forward. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you, God, for this day. Lord, as we come, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross, Lord, who gave us the right to eternal life. Lord, we thank you that eternal life is in your son, and that all who believe in you, Lord, will be saved. We thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you gave your son. We did not deserve him then nor now. But Lord, we just thank you for your grace, which is unmerited. No man can boast, because it is all of grace and none of works. Lord, as we come, we ask now that you would help us to hear the discussion, Lord. You would help it sink deep within our hearts and our minds, that we would learn to love our neighbor as ourselves, even if it means loving that person and respecting their choice, though we may disagree with it, Lord. I pray that you would bless us to see the opposing views, and that we would come to respect them, even if we walk away and we don't agree with them. Lord, we don't have to agree with these opposing views, but what we have to do is respect the right of others to hold them. And at the end of the day, we all are human. We all have the same desire. We all want to be heard. And Lord, so we pray now that you would help us reach across the aisle to our brethren of differing opinions. Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ who may disagree with us, and that we would all be able to hold hands in this and walk through this pandemic together. God, I thank you for how you have watched over us and you have protected us through this pandemic thus far. And Lord, if it be your will, you will carry us through it, Father. But I pray in the meantime that we will grow to love one another as you have loved us. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and we commit it to you now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. So there are three differing perspectives on the COVID-19 vaccine. First, there is the pro-vax position. We know this all too well. Pro-vaxxers are those that are for the vaccine. They believe in vaccines. They believe in the good that they help protect you and immunize you against illnesses and diseases and death, because these things can kill you. And so it makes sense to pro-vaxxers. If science has created a vaccine and scientists say and health experts say you get this vaccine, then you get the vaccine. It's simple. Get the vaccine, protect yourself, protect your loved ones. It just sounds great. It's pretty awesome, you know, in their mind. That's science. Science says this COVID is real. It is not a hoax. And so there are some pro-vaxxers that are offended with the anti-vax movement or anti-vax movement because they say, you know, COVID-19 is a hoax. It's nothing more than a cold and a flu. And so it's no big deal. Pro-vaxxers would say, no, it is a big deal. It does matter. And you need to get immunized against it. And because the vaccine is available for everyone, now you have no excuse. If you want to get vaccinated, you can get vaccinated. And so, you know, really, there's no reasoning to not get vaccinated. There's no excuse. Those who do it are simply being stubborn, bullheaded, whatever you want to call it, but they're not doing it. And I'm just talking about the positions themselves and how people think. I'm not name calling. I want to throw that out there, but I am going to tell you that there are names being tossed around. And one of them is that people that just won't get it are bullheaded. And I think recently, you know, Dr. Fauci went to the press at some point and made an announcement recently where he said that it's time for the anti-vaxxers to get over their political position. Just get over it. And so he's insinuating that people are the way they are because of a political stance. I don't think that that's the entire reasoning behind not getting this COVID-19 vaccine, but I think it's interesting. They're making it out to be a political stance, but it's actually more than that. I don't think Dr. Fauci goes far enough. And in recent days, there are things that I've seen that are troubling to me about just what this administration is saying behind the vaccine. There are some troubling things that are being said because, you know, whether they want to admit it or not, there are recorded deaths that are vaccine induced. And so, you know, there are those recorded cases. There are people living who have had blood clots that were vaccine induced. You can Google this stuff and find it. It's not hard to find. This stuff is pretty much everywhere nowadays. Go to a news app. There's a news app that I recommend. I read called Smart News, and it has all these different articles that come up every day. And if you want to follow coronavirus news, you can follow it every day. And I'm reading stuff every day from legitimate publications, even Reuters, which is a great international, R-E-U-T-E-R-S. It's an international organization. And they do great work. And even they're coming out with issues with the vaccines. And so the moment you go publish something on Facebook about a vaccine, guess what Facebook does? Facebook has to put a message beneath it now saying that the vaccines are tested and they're safe and they're effective. Well, why do you have to do that if I'm sharing something from a legitimate, credible source? It's because the goal is pro-vaccine at all costs. We push the vaccine no matter what the bad is. We are not going to let people talk about the vaccine or even share information that might deter people from getting it. That is, any post that increased vaccine hesitancy, Facebook is not sharing them. And I know this to be true because there are other posts about other things I've shared that get lots of clicks. When it comes to the vaccine information about a death due to vaccines or the number of people that have died due to the vaccine, Facebook suppresses it and you don't get anyone to like it because their algorithm is designed to only push those things that they agree with. I mean, that's social media nowadays in many cases. And so, you know, the pro-vaccine movement is get the vaccine at all costs. It's the vaccine or nothing. You know, vaccine is science. Science is health. It's all good. And the vaccine is good. And so you don't worry about the negative. You just focus on the positive. The positive is the vaccine can save lives. So you'd be an idiot, they would say, not to get vaccinated. That's what they're saying. Then there are those in the middle. That is the vaccine hesitant. These are people that say, well, you know what? I grew up all my life and I got the vaccines, but this one vaccine I don't have. I don't want to get this COVID-19 vaccine, even though Others are touting it as the greatest advancement of our time. I don't want this vaccine. Why? Because this vaccine only has emergency use authorization. What that means is it has been approved quickly, sped through the process for the pandemic. Because of the pandemic and the 500,000 plus Americans that have lost their lives, because this is such a fatal virus, we need a quick solution. And so the FDA said, we're going to usher this through, and so we're going to get this vaccine to the masses. And so that way, it's going to help people. It's going to help save lives, because it's going to immunize them and inoculate them against this illness. And so the vaccine hesitant people say, well, yes, I understand it's emergency use, but it's not official FDA authorization. That takes months and months and months. That would take probably 3 to 5 years in order for this vaccine to be officially allowed onto the market. Most drugs take about that long before they become official. There are a number of tests and early studies done, and give it about 3 years, then those medicines and medical solutions become approved on the market. Very few things get approved as quickly as this vaccine did, but this vaccine is only approved because of the pandemic, right? And so if the pandemic eventually comes to an end, there will no longer be those underlying emergencies to bolster the use of this vaccine. This vaccine will have to jump through normal hoops and hurdles once the pandemic is over. But because the pandemic is here, this is the solution. Vaccine hesitant people say it doesn't have official use, official authorization. Therefore, I don't intend to get it, because at this stage, it is an experimental drug. And if I take this experimental drug, I take it at my own risk. And so even though I'm not opposed to vaccines, I've gotten all my other vaccines, and I'm one of those people, I believe vaccines can do a lot of good in the world. I certainly have had all my vaccines. I've had measles, mumps, and rubella. I've had tetanus shots. I've had the polio in both of my thighs when I was a kid, back in the late 80s. So I have had a number of shots throughout my life that have been given to me. I've had the MMR countless times. That's the measles, mumps, and rubella. And that's probably my favorite vaccine, because that's the one that hurts me the least. And I wish they all came made like the MMR. It wouldn't be a problem taking them. But at the end of the day, I've never had any side effects from the MMR. I've only had a slight bruise on my arm, that a slightly swollen, bruised place that eventually goes away. That's about as much of the effect from MMR that I've had. But I understand where the vaccine hesitant people are coming from, because I have had all my vaccines, but this vaccine in particular is rushed. And so the most offensive thing was when Dr. Fauci got up on NBC's special, Roll Up Your Sleeves, which was the vaccine special to increase support and educate about the vaccine. He gets up there basically and he says, well, you know, Matthew McConaughey was asking him a question, and Matthew McConaughey says, you know, well, what would you say to people that say the vaccine is rushed? And Dr. Fauci says, well, it isn't rushed. We've been working on this vaccine platform technology for the last 10 years. That very well may be true. They've been working on messenger RNA or mRNA technology, and that is the latest now. Now, people say, well, what's the difference between mRNA and the traditional vaccines? The traditional vaccines basically took the virus as a whole and would pretty much modify it so that it could be injected, okay? Today's mRNA or messenger RNA vaccines, they don't do that. They don't take all of the virus, but they take what they call the spike protein. It's a certain component of the anatomy of the virus. So it's a certain part of the virus, a portion of the virus they take, and they insert, they modify it, and then they insert. And so what you have happening is messenger RNA is better because you're not getting all of the virus. You're getting a small portion of the virus. So because there's a smaller amount of the virus you get exposed to, it's said to have fewer symptoms. The symptoms shouldn't be as rigorous as the traditional vaccines because you're getting a smaller portion of the virus. That is, if you get smaller portion of the virus, you should have fewer side effects. That's what the common thought is behind messenger RNA. And that might have taken 10 years to develop, and that might have gone through a long, rigorous process. But let's be honest with ourselves. They did not prepare the COVID-19 vaccine 10 years ago. They didn't do that. What they prepared for was the use of messenger RNA. That could go in any vaccine, not just the COVID, but the COVID vaccine in particular. They could not have known 10 years ago, in the year 2020, COVID-19 is coming on the scene and we got to make a vaccine. They could never have predicted that a decade ago. So while Dr. Fauci may be right about messenger RNA, which is vaccine platform technology, he's very flat wrong about the fact that this vaccine was not rushed. It is rushed because there's more to the vaccine than messenger RNA. There's COVID itself, which people have to be exposed to in order to be immunized against it. How are you immunized against a virus and you're not exposed to it? That's the purpose of traditional vaccines. You get the vaccine in you, and then that produces a certain amount of antibodies. Now, how do you get antibodies if you don't get the actual virus injected in some form? So if you're getting the virus injected, that's what produces antibodies. You can't get a vaccine for flu and then wonder why you're not protected against COVID. If you could get protected against COVID by the flu vaccine, we all could just go get a flu vaccine and there would have been no need for a COVID vaccine. So please understand, if you're being told that the COVID-19 vaccine, these new ones, the Moderna and the Pfizer, which run messenger RNA, oh, these don't have any trace of COVID in them whatsoever, that is a bold-faced lie from the pit of hell. Every vaccine known to man has a trace of the virus in it, or the illness or the sickness. You can't get antibodies from a virus that you don't get exposed to. That virus has to go in your body to produce antibodies, because the next time your body fights it, it's supposed to recognize it and shut it out. It's almost like, think of it like this. It's almost like your body take something of a picture of what that is. The next time it sees it, it recognizes it. It can't get flu antibodies and then the flu antibodies recognize the COVID, right? Flu and COVID-19 are not the same thing. The common cold is a form of COVID, but it is not COVID-19. It is not, it's nowhere as lethal as COVID-19. The flu isn't as lethal as COVID-19. COVID-19 is the worst thing we've ever seen in our time, in a generation. We've never seen anything this bad. And so, you know, while it's true that messenger RNA has been out for 10 years in studies, we haven't had a COVID-19 vaccine for 10 years. So the COVID-19 vaccine really has been rushed. Because let me tell you, it first came out, the first COVID-19 vaccine that came out was Pfizer. That was in December. You can do a Google search and find it. Came out in December. What month is this? This is July. Guess what, folks? It's been 7 months, maybe less than that. We've had COVID vaccines for 6 to 7 months, max. This vaccine is nowhere near the 3 to 5 year mark that it takes for most before they're approved on the market. It isn't anywhere near that. And so the vaccine hesitants say, well, there's a reason why we don't want the vaccine. It is rushed. And until there are more studies done and maybe the vaccine gets revised because it's not effective enough and it has too many side effects, we're not taking it. That's what the vaccine hesitant movement says. I'm not really sure that I want to take it. Some are saying, I'm sure that I don't want to take it in its current form, though I'm open to the idea that maybe I'll take it later. Then there are those vaccine hesitant that say, well, I'm just against it right now until I see some better numbers and less vaccine-induced blood clots and vaccine-induced deaths. And until I see, you know, a growing trend of people who are not getting sick from this vaccine, I refuse to take it. And that includes deaths, right? Because people are also reading about deaths of those who have died from the COVID vaccine within a matter of days. I continue to tell you all about, there was this woman in Utah, 39 years old, left behind a daughter, and she was a surgical technician, I believe she was. And so she was getting geared up to get her vaccine, and she was telling everybody, you know, encouraging them, you all need to go get your vaccine. She worked She was a surgical technician. So she worked with a lot of people dealing with plastic surgery and things like that. And she was just so excited about her vaccine, right? She goes and gets the Moderna vaccine and dies within 4 days. Now, what happened to her is that she had a complete malfunction of her liver. Complete liver malfunction. 4 days. You go from being healthy as an ox to having trouble urinating within a day or two and then dying on day 4. Post-vaccine injection. Okay? And there was nothing wrong with her. She was completely, she was a health person. She was a surgical technician. She worked in the health industry. People that are in the industry are definitely health conscious. She was. Nothing wrong with her. 39 years old, complete liver malfunction, dead in 4 days. And, you know, you tell people these stories and they think to themselves, you know, you're a weirdo. You're a weirdo because you don't know what she died of. Well, I know that most 39-year-olds don't die within 4 days of an injection, yet the injection has nothing to do with it. And according to the autopsies, you know, let's get on the subject of the autopsies. We'll get to those. But what I want to talk about is the vaccine hesitant are saying there are good reasons why we are hesitant, why we refuse to get this vaccine in its current form. And no matter what you say and throw out there, you're not going to convince us different. Okay. Everybody's dogmatic about their opinion. People are open to having their minds changed. But when most of us make up our minds, let's be realistic. When we make up our minds are made up. And very little evidence in another direction will convince us. We all are guilty of being closed-minded at times. But that's why this discussion exists, so that we'll hear each other. You know, we can preach all day long about what God has done for us. I can preach that all day long. But I want to tell you, if you don't know how to take the Bible and apply it to life in the world and learn how to live and get along with other people, then as a pastor, I have failed you. And part of getting along with other people is understanding how to listen to somebody whose views differ from your own. Some Christians cannot win the loss to Christ because the minute the atheist says there is no God, they throw up the Bible. And we know the atheist is opposed to the Bible. There are other ways to win the atheist to the Bible by arguing that the Bible matches what we see in the world. Because atheists are very big on science and very big on what they see with their eyes. And you can use those things to talk about the Bible. But Christians are like, well, my goal is to win them to Christ, and I'm going to tell them God is real and the Bible is true. And if they don't believe it, then so be it. Bump them. And so that Christian leaves self-righteous thinking, well, I'm in the right and they're in the wrong, and I'm going to just pray for them. And you know what? While you're praying for them, pray for yourself. Because if we can't talk to atheists without always throwing the Bible in their face, we're never going to win them over. That doesn't mean that the Bible isn't true. But if you read Jesus's parables, Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven being like everyday earthly things. The kingdom of heaven is like workers that went into a vineyard, workers that went into a field, and they worked differing hours of the day. And the master said, go in the vineyard and work, and I'll pay you what's right. The kingdom of heaven is like three servants whose master was going off into a faraway country. And before he left, he gave them differing talents. 1 5 and 1 2 and 1 1. And when he came back, he settled score with them. Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven through everyday examples. Are we Christians that ill-equipped to reach the lost that we have to talk about the Bible? And if they say, I don't believe the Bible, we've lost our discussion with them. Can we not use everyday things? I mean, our Lord and Savior did it. What's wrong with us that we are ill-equipped to do that? Perhaps it's because we can quote verses in the Bible, but we can't apply what Jesus did because we've spent more time quoting what he said than analyzing what he did. We'll never reach the lost that way. Christians will never reach atheists. And in this discussion of the COVID-19 vaccine, pro-vaxxers have got to listen to the vaccine hesitant people. And they don't want to. They don't want to. They want to say this vaccine is good, and that's all there is to it. But the hesitant say, there are reasons why we don't want this vaccine right now in its current form. And we're even more suspicious because people are just telling us how great it is. They're not telling us the bad. Now, every medicine on earth has side effects. Every vaccine does too. But you won't hear the side effects about the vaccine because guess what? If you do, guess what? They're afraid that they're going to kill the pro-vaccination agenda. So therefore, rather than tell you the bad, we're not going to lie to you. We're just not going to tell you about it. So they can't say, you know, the pro-vaccination agenda says, well, they can't say that we're lying to them. We just omitted certain details. And so the vaccine hesitant say, well, and the fact that you don't want to talk about the fact that Dr. Fauci, the fact that the pro-vaccination group doesn't really want to talk about the side effects of the vaccine. The vaccine hesitant says, well, that's why I'm also hesitant, because you don't want to talk about the bad of the vaccine. Every medicine has good and bad. Where's the bad about the vaccine? Oh, wait, you don't want to talk about that, right? Because if we do, then that sort of ruins the whole idea of getting vaccinated, doesn't it? I'm not saying that's accurate. I'm not saying it's flat wrong. I'm just giving you what the vaccine hesitant group is saying. And I happen to agree with them in one thing. That is that if there are side effects to this vaccine, if there are deaths occurring that are vaccine induced, that would run anyone away from wanting to get the vaccine. But the pro-vaccination group, they don't want to hear that. Pro-vaxxers don't want to hear that. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want you to even mention it. Because heaven forbid there's a good reason to not get the vaccine. All of a sudden, they feel like it's killed the vaccination movement. I don't think so. But I think that we should take into account, as the anti-vaxxers would say, the anti-vaxxers, now let me tell you about them. They're opposed to the vaccine in general, any vaccine. They don't care what vaccine it is. And they've decided all vaccines are bad. Okay? And you may say, well, the vaccine hesitant don't really agree that all vaccines are bad. Vaccines can be useful. Yes, I've had all my vaccines. I have registered nurses in my family that I have talked to about the vaccine, about COVID-19 and other vaccines. So I've sought medical opinion. I have an aunt who has over 30 years as a registered nurse. And we have had many a conversation about the vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine. But let me tell you about these anti-vaxxers, the anti-vax movement. They have been opposed to all vaccines. And people say, well, yeah, and so the vaccine hesitant sort of kind of get in their group. Well, you can't put vaccine hesitant and anti-vax really in the same group. You can't really do that, because the anti-vax movement is not only looking at side effects of the vaccine, but the anti-vaxxers consider themselves to be Christian too. So they, in that part, they agree with vaccine hesitant, some of whom are Christian. But when all is said and done, the anti-vaxxers mostly are comprised of Christians. That group is entirely, it's not like the vaccine hesitant where it's a mix of everybody in the country. The anti-vax movement is rather overwhelmingly Christian. From what I've read, overwhelmingly Republican in political affiliation. Right. There are independents and Democrats in there, too, to be sure. But it's overwhelmingly Republican. And they would say, but their disagreement with the vaccine comes down to two things. First, it's the side effects and the vaccine deaths that are occurring. That's giving them pause. The fact that the vaccine is rushed, in that they agree with the vaccine hesitant. But there's one more reason why the anti-vax movement is saying this vaccine is like all others, don't trust it. There's a moral dilemma that they believe vaccines pose. You say, well, Pastor, what is this moral dilemma? Here's what it is. You ready for this? Here's what it is. Vaccines, as we said earlier, right, even with messenger RNA, there is a portion of the virus that is injected into you in some form, even if it's modified. It's a portion of the virus, a modified portion of the virus that is injected into you. But guess what happens? you have to actually get a part of the virus in you to produce antibodies to help you fight the virus. Anti-vaxxers are saying, you know what that's tantamount to? That's tantamount to you, somebody bringing you a tiny cup of poison and saying, drink this poison, because when you drink this poison, it's going to inoculate you against poison. Or let's inject this poison in your arm to protect you against poison. Would you do it? Would you do it? I think it's pretty clear we would all say no, we're not going to do it. And I would not encourage you to do it. God desires that you live, not that you commit suicide. Okay? And so, no, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't inject poison. And the anti-vax movement says, okay, well, if you're not going to inject poison, why would you put a portion of a virus in your arm via a syringe in the hopes that you're inoculated against that same thing? How do you put yourself at risk to protect yourself? It's illogical. You don't put yourself at risk to protect yourself. You just simply protect yourself. Anti-vaxxers are saying it's a moral dilemma with vaccines, because no matter what good end they serve, the ends do not justify the means. That is, because I'm inoculated against COVID, that doesn't mean it's okay for me to put a portion of COVID in me. When I do that, the anti-vax movement says, when you do that, you are tempting the Lord. It's like throwing yourself off the temple, as Satan told Jesus to do in the Gospels. Throw yourself off the temple, Satan said, because the angels will bear you up and you won't dash your foot against the stone. And what did Jesus tell him? It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And anti-vaxxers say, we believe within our conviction that to put something in your arm to protect you against that same thing is essentially a milder form of suicide, because you are putting your life at risk to protect your life. And you don't do that. You don't expose yourself to protect yourself, right? You don't expose, you know, and so during the COVID pandemic, right, which started in 2020, you know, there were people who wanted to walk around without face masks. And so what was they're saying was, well, you know, I read an article and it just threw me for a loop. I couldn't believe that I read it. It was from a renowned publication, too. I remember, at least anyway. And it was written by somebody, and they basically said we should, you know, he was like, I think it was a man. I don't remember the gender of the writer, but I remember the writer was like, you know, I want my kids to get COVID and here's why. And I was mortified that a parent actually wrote an article about why they wanted their kids to get COVID, a deadly disease that has killed over 550,000 people, and you want your children to get it. And his reasoning was, well, if they get it, they'll most likely recover. It won't kill them. It won't. Well, guess what? There are plenty of children that have died from getting COVID. I know a particular case of two parents that went out of the country, or rather, I should say, I think they went on a vacation. I don't know exactly where the vacation was, but I think they went out of the country, right? And both the parents were immunized. They were both fully immunized. They had both doses of their shots. And they went with their child, who was like, what, 10 or 11 years old, recently. And they, you know, they thought everything was good because they were, you know, immunized. They were like, well, we can't pass it to our son. Everything's going to be good. Well, they get on the plane, you know, when they get there, they get tested, everything's fine. But while they're there on vacation, a few days later, their son comes down sick. They find out that he does have COVID and he dies. He dies, folks, while they're on vacation. Two immunized parents whose son gets sick and dies. And so, you know, it is the idea that there are ways to protect yourself. The anti-vax movement would say there are ways to protect yourself without exposing yourself to this virus. For example, face masks. Now, some anti-vaxxers are anti-face masks, but not all. Some would say the face mask is useful. Washing your hands, social distancing, you know, staying your distance is fine, you know, and that they're willing to do that to fight this virus. But they're saying what we're not willing to do is get the vaccine, because that's a moral dilemma. I'm putting my life at risk to protect my life, and that is crazy. That's like me throwing myself off the temple in hopes that God will allow me to live if I get up. Good luck with that, right? So I think the anti-vaxxers are saying there are reasons not to get this vaccine. Not only is it rushed, despite what Dr. Fauci says, it is rushed. Let's just call a spade, all right? I don't have a political stance. I'm looking at it from a medical perspective. And that's what I want all three of these groups to do, is look at it from a medical perspective. And when it all falls down, guess what? There's life at risk. The pro-vaxxers say, well, life is at risk if you don't get vaccinated. Guess what the vaccine hesitant and the anti-vaxxers are saying? Guess what? If you get the vaccine injection in your arm, your life is still at risk, because you can still die from it. It's death in either direction. Death is what's motivating people to take their particular stance on the subject. So I think we can reach across the aisle when the pro-vaxxers understand that the vaccine hesitant and the anti-vaxxers care about life and they care about science. And they're not these anti-scientific people who just don't care either way. Because that's what's being thrown vaccine hesitant and the anti-vaxxers. It's that, well, you don't care about science and you don't care about good health. And that just simply isn't true. That isn't true. But the anti-vaxxers are saying there's a moral dilemma. Their conscience won't allow them to get a vaccine because there is a dilemma. And I have to be honest with you, it's an argument I haven't read much of until I got to be an adult. And when I started to think about it with COVID, I thought, you know what? It really is true. They have a point. I've always tried to think, oh no, I don't see anything in common with the anti-vaxxers. I'm not telling you about closed-mindedness without condemning myself. I too have been closed-minded. I thought at one point, man, you know, they got to be out of their minds. Who wouldn't want to get a vaccine? Then I started to read about the COVID-19 vaccine, and I thought to myself, you know what? They have a point. Because you can't immunize yourself against a virus that doesn't go inside you. There's just no way, it's not logically possible to immunize against something that you don't get exposed to. And so to immunize against COVID, you have to be exposed to COVID in some form. I don't care how modified. And so if you've been told mRNA vaccines don't expose you to any of the virus, I'm afraid to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, but you have been lied to. That just simply is not the truth. And if you don't believe me, Google this stuff. That's what the internet, the World Wide Web is for. You will find out that I'm not lying to you. I do my best not to lie. If something is wrong, I stand corrected. But I definitely am not saying it to lie to you. So the anti-vax movement is saying there's a moral dilemma and we can't break that because our conscience won't let us do it. And then there are all these other things. There is the fact the vaccines are rushed. There's the fact that if we get these vaccines, this COVID-19 vaccine from these different companies, we very well could die in the process. Then our lives are gone. Our lives are gone. 39-year-old surgical technician from Utah, her life is over. Her child has to grow up without a mother. Another death that should never have been. Because guess what, folks? The thing that's supposed to save your life, i.e. the vaccine, is not the thing that should take it. Pro-vaxxers want to talk about the good of the vaccine and the death they've seen. But let me tell you, folks, we shouldn't have to die in the name of scientific progress. And sometimes to me, the scientific and medical communities are really, really cold, because they're in the business. People say, well, they're in the business of caring for people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But guess what? In the scientific community, they're in the business of doing what's best for the advancement of science. Their ultimate goal is the progression of science. Scientific progress. It's not necessarily caring for their neighbor and loving their neighbor as themselves. They don't want to die. Guess what? If you love your neighbor as yourself and you don't want to die, you don't harm yourself, then you won't harm your neighbor either. See, the anti-vax movement has been vilified and demonized and told they are nuts, they're nut jobs, they're anti-science, they don't have a brain. Oh, there's some uneducated bumpkin sitting on a porch in the country somewhere that doesn't know any better. And when they get educated and become more civilized, then they'll know something. That just isn't true. That isn't true, folks. Those things are lies from the devil. The truth cuts through all the cloudiness. Anti-vaxxers care about their lives and the lives of other people. They don't want anyone to die from this illness. They don't want anyone to die. The vaccine hesitant don't want any life to be lost. And they're saying, if you die by vaccine and you die by COVID, what's the difference? At least if you get COVID, there is some chance, however slim, you can fight COVID. But if you get a vaccine in your arm, you can die within 3 or 4 days. Yeah, you could live. You could live and be perfectly normal, but you could die too within 3 or 4 days. It might take COVID 6 months to get you, but the vaccine could get you in 3 or 4 days. Now, if you got a choice of 6 months to live or 3 or 4 days to live, which would you choose? If you had to die by vaccine or die by COVID, which would you choose? And some of you would say, well, I can't answer that question. I don't know. Guess what? It's a hard one to answer, isn't it? The anti-vaxxer is saying, well, then you pro-vaxxers need to understand where we're coming from. Understand it is a complex situation. It's not black or white. If you're for science and you want to protect people, get the vaccine. It's not that simple. That's what anti-vaxxers are saying. Everybody wants to preserve life. Nobody wants people to die needlessly. But what pro-vaxxers have to understand is that anti-vaxxers see the deaths of the vaccinated as seriously as they do the deaths of COVID patients. Death is death, folks, and all of these deaths didn't have to happen. It's unfortunate that they die. Whether you die by COVID or you die by a vaccine, a death is a death, and every person matters, and every life matters, and every life is to be mourned when it is taken. That's the point the anti-vaxxer is saying, is that does not the life of the vaccinated who die matter too? Is it only the lives of COVID patients? We live in a world that says numbers are all that matter. When you read about the COVID vaccine, you read so much about the doctors coming on, and when they talk about the death, I'll never forget one case, there was somebody who died of the vaccine. And they said, well, I think she probably was in her 80s. And they said, well, we're so sorry that she died, and our hearts go out to her family. And then the 11-year-old who died, or a boy who died, you know, our thoughts go out to him and his family. But the benefits outweigh the risks. And that is the phrase that just gets me every time. The benefits outweigh the risks. How is that possible? If you get the vaccine and you die, and you don't get the vaccine and you die, how does the benefit of vaccination outweigh the risk if you die? How does it? It only benefits the living. And then what makes it worse is those who are living with blood clots and other conditions that are vaccine induced. Where's the benefit for them? They've taken the vaccine to save their life. Now they've got blood clots. Now they've got other issues which only undermine the immune system and make them more susceptible for COVID to eventually come along and get them. So what benefit does the vaccine give them? All the benefits out. Oh, there are so few deaths that have occurred behind the vaccine. Yeah, numbers. We live in a numbers world. But you know what? The Lord lives in numbers too. You know what he says about numbers? That the Lord, guess what? The Lord will leave the 99 sheep and he will go get the one. You know why? Because even one sheep matters to God. Every person matters to God. Every life matters to God. And every life should matter to those of us who name the name of Christ. We've got to stop living in the world where we let this utilitarian mindset and philosophy drive us. The greatest good for the greatest number. No, God says, if it's good for everybody. And if it's bad for everybody. Hell is not okay for a few people. Hell is bad for everybody. And heaven is good and great for everybody. Our God deals with every single life because they all matter to him. We got to stop getting into that utilitarian mindset. If it's good, if it leads to a greater good, then it's good. No, God says it doesn't matter the greater good. We don't sin so that grace may abound. Paul wrote after that, God forbid. May it never be in the Greek. We don't do evil so that good comes from it. We do good so that good comes. Yes, even in evil, God can still bring good out of our mess, but that doesn't okay our mess, folks. And so the anti-vaxxers are saying, if we don't sin so that grace may abound, why do we get inoculated with a virus injected so that we'll be protected against it? How much sense does that make? And that's a logical and a moral dilemma that no pro-vaxxer has ever written against convincingly. They have never convinced me of that very thing. I thank God that I'm here today. I've had many vaccines. I thank God that I'm here. But guess what? I can tell you that for every person like me that has lived, there are people in my generation that died years ago from them. Their parents were doing the right thing by them too, or so they thought. I'm going to get my child vaccinated, they said, to protect them from these things. And those vaccines that were supposed to give them life took the life from them. They are gone today because they too thought they had nothing to fear from a vaccine. I'm not saying all this to scare people, but what I'm saying is if we're adults and we're Christians at that, shouldn't we be able to come together and reason about this instead of throwing mean, cruel labels at each other and shouting at each other and refusing to listen and shaming people on social media? I mean, we are childish in the way that we behaved about this. Instead of coming together and having a reasonable discussion, we have thrown each other under a bus, metaphorically speaking, to get our way. And at the end of the day, no matter how self-righteous you are and how right you think your position is, that person has to live with their own choice. It's a matter of conscience, folks. And some people think it just goes against their conscience. You may not struggle with that problem, but some people do. And it's not unreasonable for them to have a moral dilemma that's on their heart and mind. It is a moral dilemma. I mean, what do you do? Do you get it to protect yourself or do you protect yourself by not getting it? That's a moral dilemma, folks. You may not think so. You may have reason in your mind vaccines are good regardless of any other reasoning. But there is a valid argument, folks, on the other side, across the aisle. And what pro-vaxxers have got to do is reach across the aisle, not just to the anti-vaxxers, though, but to the vaccine hesitant and stop saying you're idiots and say, I understand where you are coming from. If it was, and I want to say this sometimes to the pro-vax group, if it was your son or daughter that died, if you had died, imagine what your family would feel like as they buried you and put you in a grave. And had to pick out your casket and had to write out your obituary and had to go through your boxes of things and stack up and donate and sell your stuff after you're gone because they didn't expect you to die so soon from a vaccine that they thought would save your life. See, when you put yourself in other people's shoes, you understand better where they're coming from. But we don't do that on social media when we're shaming people and trying to look good and make our side look good and theirs look bad. We're not doing that. We're not operating under Jesus's words to love your neighbor as yourself. You're just loving yourself. And that's not of God. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself. But when you love yourself and you hate your neighbor, you are not fulfilling scripture. You're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. You start with yourself. If I love myself enough to feed myself, they need to eat. If I love myself enough to clothe myself, they need clothes. If I love myself enough to bathe myself, they need to be bathed. If I love myself enough to want somebody to come visit me, then I should go see about them. That's what love looks like. Love looks like Jesus. And Jesus had his group of people that he didn't like. They were called the Pharisees. But he still told them about being saved. And guess what? He didn't win all of them, but he won Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus might have come by night, folks. But let me tell you, he came and he asked some very pertinent questions. And Jesus told him. And we know that Nicodemus came to the Lord, because if you read the Gospel of John, if my memory serves me correctly, if you read the Gospel of John, you'll find that Nicodemus was there when they put Jesus in the tomb given by Joseph of Arimathea. Nicodemus was there. He was there. Jesus didn't win every Pharisee, but you know what? He won at least one of them. Guess what, folks? Being like Jesus in the world doesn't mean you're going to win everybody. But if you can reach across the aisle to people that disagree with you, you might win somebody. Somebody might gain respect for you, even if they say, well, I still disagree with you, but I respect you. It's a part of us coming and reasoning together. We should be able to do that as believers in Christ. And I fear that we haven't done that over the COVID-19 vaccine, because we're so worried about looking right. We're so worried. The pro-vaxxers are worried. Oh my God. If we address the vaccine-induced blood clots and the vaccine-induced deaths, people will no longer want a vaccine. Well, guess what? That's a risk you take when the truth comes out, folks. People are going to make up their own minds. But the goal is, give them the truth. Then let them see and let them decide for themselves. When I talk to an atheist about becoming a follower of Jesus, guess what? I tell them the truth. Well, do bad things happen to good people? I tell them yes, all the time. And you know what? We live in a world full of sin, and tragedy befalls us all. Guess what? They don't want to hear that, but that's the reality. If you want to serve a God that just gives you good all the time, that's not what Jesus is. That's not what God is, and that's not what they do. God and Jesus are not going to give good all the time. Life brings adversity. Life brings hardship. We live in a world stained by the fall. The fall happened not because God decided it would be, but because we made bad choices. Man made a wrong choice. He is living through the results, the consequences of that terrible choice that day. God allowed our choice to stand because God is committed to choice. But atheists say, well, God doesn't exist because there's so much evil in the world. No, God does exist, because evil in the world implies that people have choice. And since we didn't make ourselves, it is he that made us, as scripture says in Psalms, and not we ourselves, then it implies that that free will to choose came from somebody. It came from God. But because God allows us to choose evil does not mean God is evil. Folks, there's a difference. Your parents can give you the key to a brand new car. Just because you go crash it doesn't mean it's your parents' fault. In the same vein, God gave man free will, but what he did with it is man's fault. And man denied it that day in the garden and blamed other people. Adam said, it's the wife, God, you gave me. And Eve said, it's the serpent. And today we're still blaming God for our mess. We live in a world. COVID-19 is here because of the fall, folks. Because of also personal responsibility. Somebody allowed COVID-19 to go unchecked. There were weeks where it had gone unreported. Human responsibility is a good reason why COVID-19 is here. Some people, like John Piper, say it's because of God's condemnation and wrath upon man. I believe that it has to do with man's own choices, both in the here and now and in the garden. We're suffering because of our own bad choices, folks. Our own sin, our own moral failures. God is good, and evil in the world does not change who God is. A good God, you know, and the common saying becomes, well, a good God wouldn't allow evil. Well, guess what? A good God does allow choice. However, he does allow choice. Why? Because God doesn't want to force you and I. God wants to give us the choice, the opportunity. He ain't gonna force anybody to come to him, but his arms are open wide for all who come. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. His invitation is extended to all who desire to come. God is willing that none should perish. And against the words of James White, when Peter wrote those words, he wasn't just saying any of you. He was writing none of the world would perish. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved, not just you in the letter of Peter, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves all, and God allows all to come. Judas went his way because Judas chose to go. God handpicked him to be an apostle. Judas had all he needed to succeed as a follower of Christ. And he threw it away, not because God made him, not because he was predestined, but because he wanted to. He wanted to. He acted within his choice. God brought good out of those terrible choices he made. That is the death and resurrection of our Lord, by which our sin debt was paid. But that doesn't mean because good came out of it, that what Judas did was okay. Anti-vaxxers are saying a similar thing. Just because you're protected from COVID doesn't mean the vaccine is okay. And I have to be honest, folks, after years of just seeing one side of the equation, I'm starting to appreciate the other side. Now, as far as what you believe, that is entirely up to you. My goal is not to convince you. My goal is to just lay the truth out. Pro-vaxxers, vaccine hesitant, anti-vaxxers, it's time that all of you reach across the aisle with those you disagree and start to listen. Stop talking so much and begin to listen. And when you do, you will find out that everybody cares about science. Everybody cares about good medicine. Everybody wants to be healthy, and every side wants to live. But there is the fear of death. Whether you take the vaccine to avoid COVID itself, or whether you don't take the vaccine and you could possibly face COVID, or you can possibly die by injection. And then here is something else they don't tell you. Even if you get vaccinated and get both doses, you can still get COVID and die from it. Even vaccinated, you can still get COVID. Therefore, you can still spread COVID. Those are things they don't want you to know. And the anti-vax movement is saying, why don't they want you to know? Why not just tell you the truth? Why cover stuff up? If it's so good, why not put everything, the good, bad, and the ugly out there for examination? And you know what? They've got a point. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I don't consider myself to be. I've always believed that there's good served by vaccines, but there is a moral dilemma anti-vaxxers have always had that I just can't get past. What about you? Is that your decision? Do you understand the anti-vax movement? Do you understand that the vaccine hesitant a little bit better now? I hope so. All my job is to do is to bring all three perspectives together, that they would reach across the aisle and embrace one another and say, even though death is driving us in different directions, that the fear of death is driving us in different directions, right? But we're all at the core, we're all human. We all want to be heard. We all want to live. We all want to see COVID-19 disappear. We all want this pandemic to go away, and we all want to be at peace with one another. We all want that. So if we want those same things, Why can't we start talking like we want the same things? When we realize we're more on the same team than we are not, we can do that. And we can come to a better understanding of one another. And I pray that some discussion tonight will help you do that with your brothers and sisters in Christ who disagree with you in the coming days and weeks and months and years. Amen. As we still deal with this pandemic, we don't know what it's going to do. We don't know what's in store. But what we do know is that we want this pandemic to end. We want our loved ones to be safe. We don't want to fear going out to celebrations and going to church services and going to birthday parties and going to the beach. We don't want to live in a world where we're afraid to step out our door. We're afraid to go to the restaurant and touch the table because we're afraid we're going to get COVID. We all want to live in a world again before COVID where we all feel some measure of safety. We all want that. Then it's time for us to talk like we want that. Amen. I pray tonight's discussion has helped you see it a little clearer. And for whatever you don't understand, let's all pray to God and he'll give us all better understanding. Amen. Amen. So with that said, I'm going to pray again to dismiss and then I'm going to let you go. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to thank you for this evening. God, we thank you for this discussion of the COVID-19 vaccine. And Lord, as we come now, we ask you would help us to better understand those with whom we disagree, Lord, that even if we don't agree with them, we can understand why they think the way they do. And we can say, I understand your fear of death. I don't want to die either. And so I've chosen a different route because I don't want to die. But I understand your situation too. It is a fear that if you get immunized, you could die from the vaccine. That is a real fear. And that is not something anti-vaxxers just have in their heads. It's not just an irrational fear. It's a real fear. It's no different, Lord, than someone saying you could die in a car accident every day. And I'm so protective in my car and I watch the speed limit because I'm afraid of dying. And someone else says, well, that's just such a small chance of you dying. No, it's a real fear. People die in car accidents every day. They die by the vaccine every day. And so we've got to start becoming more sympathetic, more empathetic, and more understanding of people that don't see things the way that we do. That's the only way we're going to live in the world and understand each other. That's the only way we're going to be at peace with one another. Is to understand, Lord, even with unbelievers with whom we don't agree about God and a number of things, we can still understand that at our core, we're all human. That doesn't mean that I have to agree with them. That doesn't mean I have to live as if I don't believe God exists. But it means that I can do a kind deed for them, even though they don't live like me. I can bless them even if they don't live like me. Because guess what, Lord? As you already know, God, they still were created by you. They were still made in your image after your likeness as I am. And at the end of the day, Lord, they need the love and light of Christ, just like I have been given it. Lord, I thank you for this discussion and I thank you for revealing your truth to us. I pray that as we go through this pandemic, you would touch the families that have lost loved ones behind COVID and behind this vaccine. Lord, I pray for those who are hesitant about getting the vaccine. I pray for anti-vaxxers who are like, no way, Jose, I'm never getting it. And I pray for pro-vaxxers, Lord, who have gotten on social media and shamed people because of a decision of their conscience. There is a moral dilemma to vaccines for all the good they do, if we're honest with ourselves. We're putting ourselves at risk. We're exposing ourselves to protect ourselves. And that just goes against doing it in the first place. That just doesn't make any sense. And if we're honest, regardless of the good of vaccines, Lord, we have to admit that. That is a moral dilemma we can't get past. We've got to stop condemning our anti-vaxxer brothers and sisters to hell because they don't agree with us. We got to stop condemning the vaccine hesitant because they won't go get vaccinated. Therefore, they don't care about ending this pandemic. That's just not true. We've thrown so much dirt at each other on opposing sides. We don't even realize how much we agree rather than disagree. Thank you, Lord, for this time, and thank you for this discussion. And now, Lord, we ask that you would apply this in our hearts and minds, Lord, as we meditate. You would bring insight where there is none, Lord. Where there is confusion, you would make it plain. We thank you for this, Lord, and we ask it all in the name of the one who died for us, in the name of the one who rose for us, and in the name of the one who is coming again for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. 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 We love you. Thank God for you. And we'll see you again soon.